Sometimes the world seems like a precarious place. And even if we generally feel safe, we still lock our car doors, we lock our houses. So on some level, we all think about safety. But is there a way not just to feel secure, but to be secure all the time? Welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm Jenny Sawyer. We've got two guests today who have experienced God's protection in scary situations. And here's the good news. Their experiences aren't unique to them. Real safety is always at hand. Our first guest is Nancy Mullen, who lives in Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I know that you did not grow up practicing Christian Science. You found it as a teenager.
That's true.
So this would have been pretty new to you. I mean, again, I think a lot of us, when we do think about safety, it's more about kind of external precautions that we can take. Was that a surprising idea to you when you first encountered it, that safety had to do with your understanding of God, or you could rely on God for care and protection?
Well, yes, I guess it was. But it was an important idea for me at the time, because the summer that I was thinking most about God's safety, two things happened. One is that I had moved from the suburbs to the edge of an inner city. Mm. And that was an exciting move. I had my own apartment. The other thing that happened was I got a camera. And I was very interested in using the camera and being able to see creatively the world around me. However, as I walked around my inner city neighborhood, there was this kind of fear over everything. I was a woman alone in unfamiliar territory. And so the way I handled that was to pray about it.
So you were specifically concerned for your own safety, or what was the fear about specifically?
It was for my own safety. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, because this was a brand new environment.
Right. So you're walking around, you're excited to take pictures of things, and yet you're kind of bumping up against this fear that's coming up for you. You've been practicing Christian Science for a few years at this point, right?
Yes, on and off. I was still fairly new.
Okay.
But I would take these walks through my neighborhood, and the first part of every walk was really just getting in touch with God so that I could get this fear out of the way and be able to see the good that was shining through. It was hard work. It was hard work learning to be open to the truth of God's goodness. Mm. I mean, there's some resistance to that I needed to get out of the way.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can just share from my experience, I think even when we felt something of the power of God or seen something of that true goodness of God that is real, even in the face of these other things that may appear to be real, when we're like coming face to face with things that seem threatening, scary, dangerous, it can sometimes feel hard to accept the truth that, yes, God's goodness, as you were saying, truly is infinite, and it is present even in this moment. So how did you work through that resistance to really feel it?
Well, I have to say that on these walks, there was nothing in particular threatening me at that moment. Just the whole idea of being a woman alone, you feel like you're a target for abuse.
Yeah.
It's kind of built into the culture. And in order to get past that, I needed to turn my focus from self-concern to God. What does God know about my community? What does God know about me? God governs his creation in harmony. And so being willing to let go of the fear and just think about God was the work I was doing.
Yeah, I love that, because I do think that when we feel fear, it almost seems like it can be a help. Sometimes we think, well, if I'm fearful, that means I'm being alert. It means I'm being aware. And yet you're definitely saying that fear was not a help to you. You had to get
past
it.
Well, it wasn't a help in being happy in my environment. And the Bible tells us God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Mm. That's in Genesis. And so I thought often about that. How can I see that goodness that God created. And so that was really why I was praying, to be able to see without self-concern.
Yeah, well, and I love that that passage from the Bible uses the word behold, because it's almost like an invitation. You know, behold, it was very good. And in a way, you were going through that mental and spiritual work of getting yourself to a place where you could behold it. Didn't seem very apparent, but, you know, the command was behold, and you were doing it.
I was, and the results were just, they were very moving. There were moments where I looked around and I could see the beauty in my community, and I was deeply touched by that. I remember in particular looking in the early evening at the city lights and the contours of the building against the skyline, and I felt very close to God at those moments, and it was a feeling of great joy and trust.
And then what happened?
Well, I had an experience that made me realize that closeness to God, it's more than just a neat aesthetic experience. It's a real protection. There was an evening that I had been to a restaurant and was coming back, walking back toward my apartment, and I didn't realize two guys who were walking toward me had evil intentions until they were right there and grabbed me.
Whoa.
And I struggled against them, but they were too strong for me. They overpowered me and dragged me into their car. Once I was in the car, the one who had me threw me into the back seat on the floor in the back of the car, and he said, "I have a knife. Don't scream." And I could feel something sharp against my neck. The next thing I knew, the guy who was in the front driving the car had started it, and we were going somewhere. And I realized that I was in a difficult situation.
Not that you can necessarily recall your exact thought process, but what was your kind of initial response as all of this was going on?
I do actually recall my thought process. I was realizing in the back of this car that I didn't have any physical choice about what was going to happen, but I did have a choice about what I was going to think about it. And I decided I could go two ways. I could be overcome by terror, or I could pray. And at that moment, I reached out to God with all of the same trust that I had brought to these prayer walks around my community, reached out to God, and just thought about his goodness. And what came to me right then was a statement that I had been learning from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. It's called The Scientific Statement of Being. And it begins, "There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all." And I, even though I'd been told not to say anything, I began repeating this out loud, and I went through it a couple of times, the whole scientific statement of being. And the process of doing this helped me to let go of the fear and reach out to God in a way that I had on my walks. And what came to me then was the memory of the beautiful city lights and how moved I had felt when I had seen that, and the closeness to God that I felt. And at that point, the fear left, completely left. And instantly, there was a change in the atmosphere in that car. The guy who was holding me down in the back said, "Don't worry, we're going to take you home." And he let me sit up on the seat. And he realized I was bleeding where I had bit through my lip in the struggle. And he noticed that and apologized for it. And he said to me, "Don't look at my face." And there was remorse in his voice. And, you know, I respected that because I thought, God knows these boys. They were young. They were probably no older than me. God knows these boys and knows that they're good. And that's all I need to see.
Yeah. Feeling that presence of God, it kind of doesn't leave room for anything else, does it?
Right, right. Anyway, at that point, I told them where they could drop me off, and they dropped me off in front of my apartment. And I have to say, I got there probably sooner than if they hadn't apprehended me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was safe and sound inside my apartment with just a few cuts and scrapes, which healed quickly afterwards.
Okay, wow, Nancy, this is really profound. I'm going to ask a couple follow-up questions. First, you were okay giving them your address in spite of all that had happened.
You know, the fear had so completely gone that I knew they weren't going to touch me. They'd had their opportunity and had decided not to carry through whatever they were going to do. I had no fear.
Wow. Wow. And after all this happened, I mean, a lot of people would say that that would be a fairly traumatic experience. You didn't have any after effects.
I didn't, because I had been protected. I had great evidence that we can rely on God for protection, and great evidence that God truly is good and is governing his creation in harmony.
As a sort of new student of Christian Science at the time, I know that you'd had healings previous to this, but do you feel like this brought out some dimension of God or understanding of God that you hadn't really seen or felt before?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Every healing that you have brings out some aspect of God's goodness. And this made a big impact on me.
So how do you think your feeling about God or understanding of God shifted as a result of that?
I think just a deeper trust in him and a deeper trust in man's ability and my ability to demonstrate God's goodness in my experience. Mm. God isn't just a far-off figure that we hope is going to help us. He's right there. And what we know about his goodness can be demonstrated.
I was just thinking as you were talking about that, Nancy, that I think that that's one thing that makes the revelation of God through Christian Science so unique is that Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science, actually refers to God as the divine principle of goodness. And that gives you a different perspective because I think principle to me conveys the solidness and the continuity and that kind of impartial nature of good. It's not that, oh, Nancy was in a tough situation and God was good enough to pluck her out of it. But there was something about that principle of good in operation that when you saw that, you know, saved you from potentially a catastrophic situation.
There's a quote that I have found really helpful. It's from the First Church of Christ Scientists and Miscellany by Mrs. Eddy. And she says, "There is no door through which evil can enter and no space for evil to fill in a mind filled with goodness. Good thoughts are an impervious armor. Clad therewith, you are completely shielded from the attacks of error of every sort."
Hmm. What does that mean to you?
Well, that meant to me that nothing could get to me, no evil could get to me, except it comes through thought.
So your own belief in it, so to speak.
Right, right. And understanding the unreality of any evil takes away the threat.
Yeah, I'm wondering how your view of your city changed after that.
Well, not very long after that, I came to Boston, which was an even bigger city, and I was even more into the middle of the city than I had been in this case. I was kind of on the edge of the inner city, and it did help a lot. It did help to feel that I could go anywhere safely and know that God was protecting me and everyone.
You know, this is, as we're talking, I'm realizing just, of course, this is always a timely topic in the sense of this is an issue that we all deal with day in and day out. But, you know, I think that when we think about people just fearing for their safety for a variety of reasons in our world right now, whether it's war or, you know, anything else, I love the universal applicability of what you're talking about, that again, because God is good and that goodness fills all space, anybody can see that, truly wherever they are. I mean, you saw it in the midst of what could seem like a totally life-threatening situation. What are you thinking about today as you think about people who might be in situations like that?
Well, what comes to me is Psalm 91 tells us, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The secret place isn't a physical location. It's in thought. Mm. And when we reach out for God, open ourselves to the reality of His goodness, we're in the secret place, and that's a protection.
That's beautiful, Nancy. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story with us.
It's been a joy.
I've been speaking with Nancy Mullen. She's from Framingham, Massachusetts. My colleague Carlos Machado recently spoke with Nancy Harrison from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Nancy is a Christian Science practitioner, and she's also been a volunteer chaplain with her local police department for the past 8 years. She told Carlos about a time when she prayed and saw God's protecting power in action. Let's listen in.
I was on a ride along when a call came in that there was a man being erratic and violent. He was screaming at people and kicking in doors. And as we were going, the officer that I was with was looking really grim. And when you're running hot with the lights and sirens going, it's a quiet, attentive time. But the atmosphere just felt really just tenser than usual. And he said something along the lines that this is a bad situation. And I was already praying, but that really woke me up. And I just reached out to God for what did I need to know in the situation. And the Bible verse, and it's in a hymn, in our Christian Science hymnal as well, "Everlasting Arms of Love" came to mind. And so I just hung on to that. And I was just applying that. The everlasting arms of God are around this officer. It's around all the police protecting them. It's around all this community protecting them. And it's around this man protecting him. We get there. He's being erratic and violent. And there were neighbors all up on their porches all around. It was this green area in this real dense community, real dense housing situation. And they were yelling at the officers to give them something and filming with their phones. And there was a woman standing off to one side being real quiet. And I walked over to her and we looked at each other. And I said, "I am praying for this young man as if he were my own son." She looked at me and she said, "I am too." And so we were just united in prayer, I felt. Well, one of the officers was finally able to grab this man and just held on. And it took three or four of them to get him into the back of our police car. We took him to the hospital. And as we approach, my officer says to me, go in ahead and make sure the secure room is available. So I go in ahead. And as I go in, I see that there are patients in beds along the narrow hallway that we have to come through. And he had told me, "We don't have leg shackles." He was concerned. And I just wrapped those patients right up in God's arms of love. And they got the man into the secure room without anyone being harmed. There's a bunch of us standing outside this room with a window watching, and as they get him calmed down. And the police don't think of me as a police officer. I'm not and never will be. There's a division there. But as I stood there in this crowd, three, four, or five of them came up to me. Over and over again, they told me, "I knew this was going to go bad. It's going to be a dog pile. A gun's going to get into the wrong hands. It's going to go badly." And I took that as their recognition. Anything can be healed. I mean, they came up to me as the chaplain. And since that time, it marked a turning point in my relationship in that job, in that volunteer position. It's been different ever since. I've had the opportunity to pray with officers, and they've opened up to me more. I had an officer, I had ridden with her 3 years earlier, and she said, "Now you're a Christian Scientist, aren't you?" So it just opened up these opportunities.
That was Nancy Harrison from Chattanooga, Tennessee. By the way, We love hearing from you, so feel free to leave us a comment on the Sentinel Watch page for this episode. And this is important, if you have a question that you want answered, please be sure to include your email address so we can get back to you. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll see you soon.
Still looking for a summer internship that's the right fit? Or do you know someone who is? Apply to join the team for the 2026 Summer Internship Program at the Mother Church, or share about it with a university student or recent grad. Internship information can be found at christianscience.com/internships.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.